Welcome to the Kensington Church Audiocast, where you can listen to live recorded teachings from our weekly Sunday services. We're glad you're here to listen in.
And the scripture says, "Then looking up at his disciples, he said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, because the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are hungry now, because you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and slander your name as evil because the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Take note, your reward is great in heaven, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who is rich, for you have received your comfort. Woe to you who are now full, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are now laughing, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the false prophets.'" Luke chapter 6, verse 20 to 26. Amen.
Today, we want to focus on the verse in Luke's gospel here where it says, "Blessed are the hungry." This sermon is also recorded in Matthew's gospel, and this is what Matthew says. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." Today, what I want to ask you and what I want to address is, I wonder, are you satisfied? Are you feeling content, full, filled up? Or are you chasing things that are leaving you empty? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Let's pause and pray. Lord, we're so thankful that we can meet in your presence together. I believe you're here now. I pray that you'd speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help us learn what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, would you come and would you lead us into joy and hope, into contentment? Would you help us find what we were created for? Lord, we pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Brian, and I just want to share a couple things before we jump into the message. And the first is this, is that today is Baptism Sunday. We're so excited about that. And baptism is simply when people are declaring their faith in Jesus Christ. They're saying, "My old life is gone, my new life has come in Jesus, and I want everybody to know it." These people, it's an outward declaration of something that's happened inward within them. And here at Kensington, one of the things I love that we do is that we just make the offer and invitation to anybody who wants to be baptized. You might be here today thinking, "Wow, I didn't plan to get baptized," but maybe the Lord is tugging on your heart in this moment. And as the service goes on, maybe the Lord encounters you and just says, "Hey, today is your day for baptism. Today is your day to say publicly, I'm declaring that Jesus is Lord of my life." You might say, "Well, I've been baptized. I was baptized as an infant." Well, that really was your parents' choice to dedicate you before the Lord. Have you made a personal choice in that as an adult? And if not, maybe today is your day to be able to say that. We've got clothing for you, all kinds of stuff. Plus, it's like 70 degrees out there. You'll air dry, okay? It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And so in our last service, we had a couple of people come. They didn't know they're going to be baptized today, but they got baptized on the way out, and it was a great celebration. Maybe that's you today. Second thing I want to say is this. Thank you so much for your generosity to the church. Beck and I love giving to what the Lord is doing, and so we do that on a regular basis. I want to challenge those of you who call Kensington your home to do the same. And the reason I challenge you to it is because it's a blessing to give to the Lord. It's a blessing. It's a way that we worship him, is by saying, "You know what? When I say you're the Lord of my life, I mean you're the Lord of everything." And it's also, I think, the best investment you can make, because we do incredible things all across this globe for the kingdom of God. And it's just such a joy to be a part of it. So I'm going to pray for our offering as our ushers come and wait on us. If you're here for the first time, please feel no obligation to give. We're so glad that you're our guests here today. But Lord, we just pray for this moment. We pray that it bring you much honor and glory as we give back to you. We believe everything we've been given has been given by you. And so this is just an act of worship to say, Lord, we bless you with everything, including our finances. And we just want to give back to you, and we want to be a part of what you're doing. We bless you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I've given a title to my sermon. I don't always do that, but here's the title of my sermon. It's Time to Stop the Wild Goose Chase. That's the title. Can you say it with me? It's time to stop the wild goose chase. Now that you really got it, let's say it loud. It's time to stop the wild goose chase. As I was preparing this message, and I'm going to move pretty fast here because they've given me less minutes today because of baptisms, so I'm going to be like talking really fast, okay? So here we go. I was preparing this message, and this phrase came up to me. It was like a wild goose chase. And then you know how you get down rabbit holes of research and Google and all this kind of stuff? And so I wanted to figure out, where did this phrase come from, wild goose chase? And I found out that it's actually a very old phrase. It started in literature about in the 1590s, 1593 to be exact. There was an equestrian manual written, and in that manual was this race called the wild goose chase. I bet, how many of you knew that this came from equestrian roots, wild goose chase? Nah, nobody knew that, right? But I know that. I know that now. So I'm telling you. The first time we really see it after that in the manual is in Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet. You should all go back and read it, and you'll see it right in there, wild goose chase. Here's what a wild goose chase was. It was a horse race. All the horses would line up in a perfect line, and then when the gun was fired, they'd race out. The one that took the lead, now the others would fall back in line. This was the design of the race, and they would fall into a V formation like geese fly in the air. And from that moment, all the other horses would follow the lead horse wherever it went. It was kind of a chaotic race, where that lead horse could go wherever it wanted to go. And so it was called the wild goose chase. You chase the lead goose. Later on, that phrase would be adapted, and we would know that it would be used to kind of refer to somebody who was going through life, just kind of chasing after multiple things, and nothing was really landing for them. Later, it would become, and maybe this is what you thought, where it stemmed from, but that picture of somebody running out and actually trying to catch a goose and it being like a wild goose chase. Has anybody tried to catch a wild goose with their bare hands? Now, I know what you do here in Michigan. I know what you do. You sit up in a tree and boom, you kill it. I got that. Okay. But if any of you like ran after a goose and actually just caught it by the leg, I mean, I would imagine that that's very difficult. But sometimes that's how life feels, doesn't it? You're just running after something, it's chaotic, and you never feel like you're able to grab a hold of it. Does anybody feel like that right now? Like you're just on a bit of a wild goose chase? Well, it's time to stop the wild goose chase. What our passage is about today is about the thing that you can chase, that there's a guarantee with it. And if you chase this one thing, there's this great promise of a life satisfied, a life of hope and peace, a life of pure joy. It's time to stop the wild goose chase. You know that we all hunger and thirst, all of us. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 55 says this, "Come, all you who are thirsty." It implies that all of us thirst, all of us hunger. And I'm not just talking about food and water, but there's this thing built in within each and every one of us where we groan for something. We need something to fulfill this life. We're seeking something to bring us satisfaction, contentment, and joy in our life. We all hunger and we all thirst. It comes built in. You can even see this with young children, right? They hunger and they thirst. Right away, they hunger and they thirst for food, for milk. But then as they go older, they hunger and thirst for things sometimes that they need and sometimes things that they don't need. Adults are no different. You hunger and you thirst for some things that you absolutely need. In fact, you die without them. But then we often hunger and thirst. Everyone's got an Amazon wish list, okay? We hunger and we thirst for these things that we don't really need. Maybe it's that promotion. Maybe it's a kind of reputation that you want to have. Maybe it's the amount of likes that you want. We have all these, this hunger and this thirst maybe to be known, to be seen, to be popular, whatever it might be. We have this hunger and we thirst. This is a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's good in the sense of this, is that God has made us in a way where we have the freedom to hunger and thirst after him. This is a beautiful thing. It's a bad thing when we hunger and thirst after the wrong things that lead us into bad places, that lead us into a misunderstanding of who we are, who God is, and why we're here. But we all hunger and thirst. And I would say probably all of us at some point in our life have looked for love in the wrong places. Anybody? You know that song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Oh, come on, finish the song for me. Come on. Are you alive? Come on. Come on, Kensington. I need more from you, okay? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love. He's got the whole song right here. That's good. All right. We're all of us at some point in our life have looked for love in the wrong places. Maybe right now you're looking for love in the wrong place. There's a story of a king named King Solomon who wrote the book Ecclesiastes. And King Solomon, he was on the hunt for what would satisfy him. And the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about the different things that he pursued in order to find real life. And so he pursued wealth, and he was very wealthy, wealthier than anybody else on the planet. Yet that didn't satisfy him. He went after drinking and partying, women. That didn't bring him satisfaction. He had the largest herds of all of Jerusalem, which was a big deal then. And that didn't satisfy him. He went to education. He read all the books. He learned everything that he could learn. And that didn't bring him satisfaction. And in the end, at the very end of his book, Ecclesiastes, this is what he writes. He says, listen, after I've found all this out, after I've tried everything that this world has to offer, this is what he says in chapter 12. That's the whole story. I love how he says that. That's the whole story. I've tried everything. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. Nothing but God meets the longing of our hearts. This is what he found out. So my question is, what are you chasing? What are you chasing right now? And is it bringing you life? I love the promise that's attached to this beatitude. Blessed are, another way to say that is, God is on the side of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, here's the promise. This is a wonderful promise. For they will be satisfied. Whenever Jesus or God says, I will, you can bank on it. You can count on it. It's a guarantee. So for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be satisfied. So if that's the case, why are so many people in our world not satisfied? In fact, some of the most popular songs that have ever been written are about not being satisfied, which means it hits a spot within our culture. It's like, wow, I relate to that because I'm not satisfied. There's a song by U2 called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. There's a song by the Rolling Stones called Satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I won't sing that one, right? Or do the Jagger moves. Maybe I could try to do the Jagger moves, but I won't. I won't do that. But we're in this world, we're trying to look for satisfaction, and so many people aren't. I found a survey that was done, a study by Gallup, and they were trying to find out if people are satisfied, and this is what they found. Only 47% of the people surveyed said they were satisfied with their friends. So the friend, your best friend right now, there's only a 47% chance that they actually like you, okay? That's what that means. I'm just reading the research, okay? You should call them, give them a gift, something, do something to help up the ante here. Only 26% said they were satisfied with their personal growth. Only 26% said they were satisfied with their career. Only 23% said they were satisfied with the things they did for fun and recreation. Only 14% said they were satisfied with the money that they had. So this is a picture of our world, is that not even half of our population likes their friends, right? Only a quarter of our population feels good about where they are as a human being. Only a quarter of our population really enjoys their job. Only a quarter of our population even likes the hobbies they've chosen to invest in. And only 14% are happy and content with the money that they have. And by the way, it doesn't matter if in the survey if the person had a lot of money or a little money. Those who had a lot wanted more. And guess what? Those who had a little, guess how much they want less? No, they wanted more too. And so we live in a world where we're not content. How about you? How about you? Are you happy? Are you content? Are you satisfied? Have you found what you're looking for? I love the Sermon on the Mount because here Jesus teaches us what will bring satisfaction, what will bring fulfillment. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. So what brings satisfaction is what makes you satisfied? It's when you learn to chase after Jesus. Chase after Jesus. Chase after righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is simply aligning yourself to the ways and to the character of Jesus Christ. And it's not possible on your own, by the way. If you try to achieve it on your own, righteousness on your own, it becomes self-righteousness. And nobody likes somebody who's self-righteous. Righteousness is actually a gift given by God through the power of his Spirit. You see, we believe that when you give your life to Jesus, you're given his presence through the power of his Spirit. And it's the Spirit of Christ Jesus that lives within us. And it's the presence of Jesus that brings righteousness into our life. And so we don't have to achieve it. We just have to ask for it, receive it, and then steward it in our lives. Host the presence of God in our lives. This is how we become righteous. But we need to chase after Jesus. This is how you find life. Let's take a little look at a story about Jesus in John's gospel. This happens in John chapter 4, 5, and 6. What happens in these chapters is that Jesus, he's gathering people up on a plain, a mount. This is where the Sermon on the Mount comes. But now there's this whole group of people there, and they're very hungry after Jesus is teaching them. It's about 5,000 men. That probably means there's about 10,000, 12,000 people, including women and children. And so here, Jesus is standing before this crowd. They're getting hungry. The disciples want to send them away, but Jesus says, no, let's feed them. They collect 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and Jesus does this miracle, and he heals every person. He feeds every person there. The people are amazed at what Jesus has done. The next thing that happens is Jesus sends his disciples across the lake. They get on the boat and they go across the lake. A storm develops. Jesus walks on water. Peter walks out on as well. And they go across to the other side. Now the crowd is still on this side of the lake. They wake up in the morning and they're like, hey, where'd that Jesus guy go? We need to be around that Jesus guy. Did you see that miracle he did? So they find out that Jesus crossed the lake. So they cross the lake as well. And they find Jesus. And oh, you think that they would go and find Jesus. They'd say, hey, Jesus, yes, we just want to be with you. We just want to walk with you. But they do something different. Now, listen, as a father, I've learned when my kids are buttering me up. It's taken about 18 years. I'm seeing parents look at their kids right now. It's awesome. It's like heads turned. It was great. I've learned it. Because usually it sounds something like this. Hey, they call me Papa, which is very endearing and cute. They say, Papa, Papa. Man, did you get a new haircut? It looks so nice, right? Like, oh, Papa, you know, that jacket, it's slimming on you. You're looking very slim. Have you been working out, Papa? You know, these kind of things. And I know right there, they're buttering me up. All they want me to do is take them to the outlet mall or something like this, right? They don't care about being in my presence. They just need something from me. This is what's happening. Jesus is across the lake. The crowd follows him there. And you would hope that they just like, listen, we just want to be in your presence. We just want to know you. But what we learn from John's gospel in chapter 6 is this is what they wanted. They wanted some more bread. Hey, can you do that bread trick again? We just want some of that bread. We'll come to you every day if you can do that for us. Just give us more bread. Now let me tell you two words in the New Testament for the word life. These are Greek words from one of the original languages used to write the Bible. There are two words for life, and the first word is bios, means life. Now, this word, life, means physical life. It's what you possess. It's what you have. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, there's the story of the woman who's sick, and she goes up to Jesus, touches the hem of his robe, and she's healed. Before that, we learn that she spent her whole life looking for a cure. That was bios life. What that means is she spent all of her resources, everything she had, in order to find a cure. But zoe life is very different than bios life. Zoe life is something that transcends bios life. It's not just what's in your hand. It's referring to eternal life. It's referring to a hope that can last forever, a relationship with the Lord that can last forever. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 35, as that crowd is around him wanting bread, this is what Jesus says to them. I am the bread of life. And he doesn't use the word bios here. He doesn't say, hey, listen, I'm the bread of bios life. Just keep coming to me and I'll give you this physical bread. No, he says, I am the bread of zoe, this eternal life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You see, the crowd came to Jesus for bios life, but Jesus was ready to give them zoe life. How many of us have crossed the lake or gone on these endless pursuits just for bios life when actually Jesus wants to give you zoe life? What are you chasing? Is it bringing you life? What are you clinging to? Is it giving you life? I remember when McKenna was 2 years old. She's 18, almost 18 now. So when she was 2 years old, we were at the Mall of America in Minnesota. How many of you have been to the Mall of America in Minnesota? Yeah, it's like a travel destination, which I don't understand. It's a cool mall. But anyway, if you haven't been there, go check it out, I guess. It's just what people do. And in this Mall of America, they have every store. They have two of some stores because it's so big. They have the Disney store, which, you know, I wouldn't go into unless I had four daughters. Okay, let's just be honest. And so we're in there, and it's just packed with people. And I remember McKenna, about 2 years old, she's going around looking at all the princess dresses and all these kind of things, just having the time of her life. And I'm seeing her, but she's kind of just moving a little bit further and further. And then eventually turns around, and she can't find me. You ever seen that face on a kid? They can't find their parent. They're like looking all over, like, where's my dad? Where is he? And I can still see her. And then she saw this man that looked something like me. And she ran up to him and clung to his leg, right? And then she looked up at him to discover it wasn't me. She thought she was clinging to me. She thought she was clinging to safety. She thought she was clinging to the one who was providing for her, the one who was bringing her life, you know, all these things. She thought she had my leg, but when she looked up, it was something completely different. And I just would imagine in a room this size and with people watching online that there are several of you who are clinging to the wrong leg, clinging to the wrong thing, clinging to something that you think is bringing you life or you think is going to bring you life, but isn't, not fulfilling. Because there's one leg to cling to, one person to cling to, and his name is Jesus. He's the one who brings us life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, and that big word for righteousness, to be more and more like him, pursue him forever. pursue him. This is where life is. One of my favorite commercials is for Dos Equis beer. I know, shocking for a pastor, right? I mean, you should go journal about that or something. But the reason I like it is because it has the most interesting man in the world, right? It says, the most interesting man in the world. And then he always says this at the end of the commercial. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty. What does it look like to stay thirsty, to stay hungry for the Lord? I just want to share two things with you as I close, because I want us to be a hungry people for the Lord. This is where the real adventure of life is. It's when we're hungry and we're thirsty for the Lord. Two things I want to share with you. How do you stay thirsty? The first thing is this. Stop filling up on junk. If you want to thirst and hunger for righteousness, then stop filling up on junk. Stop snacking before dinner time. Stop putting things in that keep you from him. I love the proverb writer in Proverbs 15. He says this, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. Listen, I'm pushing in on you today, but I think I can, because I really want you to experience the fullness of life that Jesus has to offer. And if you want it, you gotta stop filling up on junk. If we want more of the Lord, we have to get serious about getting rid of the stuff that keeps us from him. If you want to diet and lose weight, you can't keep the Twinkies in the cupboard. You can't keep the double-stuffed Oreos under the pillow. You gotta get it out. If you want to pursue righteousness, you gotta get bitterness out. You gotta get unforgiveness out. You gotta get those impure and unhealthy relationships out. You gotta get the secret sins out of your life. And here's the good news, friends. When you bring these things to Jesus, guess what he does? He doesn't slap you in the face. He doesn't condemn you or guilt you. He says, your sins are forgiven. I cast them as far as the east is from the west. Come, come all you who are weary, and I will give you life and life to the full. Stop the wild goose chase by purging out the stuff that's not leading you to life. Second thing, how do we stay hungry? How do we stay thirsty? I want to challenge you to make knowing Jesus the number one priority of your life. Make knowing Jesus the number one priority of your life. I love in Matthew 6:33, Matthew says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else. This is our theme here, above all. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Let me give you a great place to start. If you want to hunger and thirst after Jesus, a great place to start is at the very beginning of your day, every day, turn to Jesus. Turn to him. Seek him. Chase after him and discover life.
Thanks for joining us for this audio cast. We hope it encouraged you. Kensington Church is one church with multiple locations in the beautiful state of Michigan. Learn more about our audio offerings by visiting kensingtonchurch.org/listen and watch services on our YouTube channel.